Let me give you an example. Well, the Torah said, you quoted the Torah, was good. It says, v'achalta v'savata, right? The starting point for any idea of bracha comes from lechem. Lechem. Why? Because the only time there's any chiyuv to make a bracha, midoraisa, is lechem, right? V'achalta v'savata. And the Torah decided, again, why irrelevant? The Torah decided that lechem is that which satiates. That's one second. That's axiomatic. Good. Right. Now what? So what is that telling us? What's the next step to take? So I'll give you a good precedent to use, not chronological, not time-wise, but it's nice. A good chronological, precedent. Think about Mara for a second. Mara is such a unique halachic phenomenon, as Tosos points out. Why? Because what is Mara? Because what is, good. All right, so what is it? So Mara is lettuce, all right? Calm down, okay? Lettuce, right? Meaning you make adam on it, and then the halachic system comes along and superimposes this mitzvah on top of it. It creates like an additional factor that now jams itself onto this thing. It platforms off of it, okay? But lechem, I would argue, is further than that. Again, logically, the order actually is from lechem to mar, but I'm saying if you want to see the progression in a simple way, go from mar now to lechem. What makes lechem very different?
There's no bread.
You don't. Birds, why do we say lechem is unique, right? What makes it unique? So think about it. There's halacha comes along and says that there's an experience that takes place. An experience of eating bread that you don't have with other foods. It's not a nutritive idea. It's not just nutritive. It's experiential. Okay, lechem is the kovea suda. You build a meal, you break bread together. Again, you can argue whether that's relevant. I don't care about that. The point is that halacha comes along and creates this idea of lechem not just simply being a regular food, like carrots. Rather, it, there's something more to it. You build a meal around it. That's what you're chai to say in Dvar Torah when you have lechem, blah, blah, blah. And then, as the Mishnah says, zimun and benching, all those things show you that lechem is beyond a regular food. It has it occupies a very unique stature, which comes about through the fact that you're kovei asud on it. You make your meal, halachically speaking, off that thing. So that's why halacha is comfortable saying, when it comes to making carrots, so to speak, not that you make carrots, but if I made a carrot, so there's no idea of human intent for that, right? Carrots naturally are carrots. But bread is a very unique human idea. Bread is something that human beings create. Hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz. The bracha itself says it. We are the ones who are coming along and creating this idea. And that's why you can fit an abstract designation into what lechem is. Now what he's saying is like this. What he's saying is, so now that we know that there's a unique human quality that allows for this to emerge, for the shame lechem to emerge, so like he's saying, the second side's easy, because the second guy's going to say, the second side's looking at it through a very culinary lens, okay? Either I make bread, or I make something else. Right? If I make dog bread, that's a different food. Okay. If you want, and by the way, if you want to put it in 21st century terms, right? It's like let's say, even though there's nothing in it that shows it's anything different than regular pizza, but the fact that it has that designation means that now you look at it as a different food. Right? That's not crazy. We do that. So what the second side saying is that in a culinary sense, they're just different substances. Right? Either there's something called bread. And then dog bread's not—it's not a different kind of bread. It's something else entirely.
Let's put the other side more.
Other food. If I make dog food is a different substance than bread. It's not the same substance. It's a different substance. It may look exactly the same, but it's a different substance. And that.
Wait, why is it a different substance?
Is that no? Well, the other way to learn is to say that when I make, in other words, when I'm making bread, okay. So, again, always going back to like an uncertainty idea, but I think it's true. But that's why I think what you were saying, that it's lechem with the psul. Right, that's the halachic way of translating uncertainty. Meaning, when I go ahead and make dog bread, so I'm making bread, right? But the fact is that I'm not allowing, so to speak, again, literally what he's saying is I'm not allowing it to express itself as human bread. What that really means, though, is that the property of bread exists in it, it just hasn't been
actualized.
Don't just say in potentia. I'm saying this thing is bread, okay? The only thing is that there's a defect in it. The defect is that it's not being consumed by humans, right? So when I mix up, and this is more what you were saying, my process idea. If I mix flour and water together, I make the bread, etc. I'm doing all that stuff. So it's cleared all my actions, etc. And my das, even my das also, because my das is I'm making bread for dogs. When I'm saying I'm making bread for dogs, there's a reality of bread in that object. But the fact is that there's a defect that emerges because I'm not allowing it to be used for human consumption. That's defective bread, right? So, or again, if you want to put it in more physics terms, it means there's an uncertain, the bread itself, it lacks that clear identity of being human bread. Say the second, so again, machlok is very simple. The question is that, do we say, when I make bread, right, there's two possibilities. If you look at bread through a culinary realm, so it's two different foods, either I'm making bread or I'm making dog food. There's no such thing as dog bread. It's either bread or dog food. That's it, right? And by the way, the other way to say no. The other way is to say, it's a more abstract way of looking, and it's saying it's more of a halachic idea, meaning what happens? The guy goes ahead and he makes bread, right? But since we know bread now has all sorts of halachic ideas that comes about through the way humans relate to it, so now the bread now, what's the issue? He made bread. It's just that he purposed it for something other than human consumption. You can never avoid that. When I mix flour, like Farrah was saying, when I mix flour and water together and I bake it, everything, I'm making bread. That's what that is. That process is one of making bread. It's just a question of what I did is I purposed it, or should I say I repurposed it instead for human consumption for something else. And if you want to put it in hyper-simplistic descriptive terms, I hate putting it this kind of way, but the question is it there's either bread or dog food, or is it that I made bread with a specific designation? You understand? Is it there's either something called bread and dog food, the two different foods, or no, I'm making bread, and that's just a question of what designation I'm giving to it. Yeah. With that in mind, which side does the Rambam go like? He can only pick one of the two. So he says,
well, you told us
so. Well, second, go, read. He says, didas Rambam hi. Okay, good. So he holds like the first way. Okay. He holds that it's uncertain bread. I mean, he has bread. It's just lacking a certain designation. So therefore, what happens? So if I eat it, it goes back to becoming human food. V'gam pakamina hagriusa. It's amazing how he puts it, by the way. He says, like he's saying it openly, there's a defect. The defect is that right now, again, be clear, right now my abstract designation makes this thing not roy for human consumption. But he's not saying physically it's not roy for human consumption, because it is. He's saying my das made it that way. So I have the ability to remove that. Given the achshav, v'hagi lechem gamor, and now it's complete bread. Good. Now let's be careful. Now when it says the roam don't eat from it, it's pater from chala, and I can't use it for matzah. That's forever. What does he mean? Then it wouldn't help at that point. Okay? There is a point he's going to explain what this idea is. There's a point where of no return. Okay? How? Keep going. No. That's fine. But challah makes a lot of sense. Why? Why? Da'kol holech. Chiyuva. Okay, keep going. I'll explain what it means in a second. It's non. Right. So it was, the dough was rolled up by the temple accountant, and then afterwards it was redeemed. Right? Petura. Why is it Petura? Shebashas Chobasa Haisa Petura. Vachanami, so to hear. Kevan. Chobasa, Kevan. Stop. Now this is what Zucker was talking about. Okay? You just didn't know again. Well, yeah, well, you asked this the other day.
Oh yeah.
Okay. So now Rechaim, next move. Okay? Now, it's very nice to say that there's a reality of lechem that exists in the object, right? And that's just a question of what designation I gave to it, but it's always lechem. But now he draws another line. He modifies that ever so slightly, because he says, but that can only be true, right? In other words, this only works of changing its designation when the okay. I'll say literally what he's saying. When is the shia? When is the chi of challah come into existence? When am I chai and challah?
Before you bake it.
Before I bake it. Okay. Now, so if at the time of baking it, I go ahead, if at the time of being lush, of kneading the dough, right, I have in mind to make it for dogs, and then I bake it, what ship sailed? The challah ship. So it's true I can go, see, this is where we got to go away from the food back into halacha. It's true that I can eat it, but I can't reintroduce the chi of challah because between the time of the chi of come existence and not, that's too late. If you go ahead, When am I obligated to separate the dough, right? When I make challah, when I knead the dough together, right? That's the moment of time. So let's say when I'm kneading the dough, I say to myself, you know what? This is now dog bread. And then when I put it in the oven and I bake it, afterwards I say, you know what? I changed my mind. It's now human bread. Too late when it comes to challah. Why?
That's good.
But, no. Why does it not work? Because at the time where halacha converges, right, on the lechem, right, I had it as dog bread. Now, that's not an extant obligation that exists throughout the entire thing. Once I bake it, that's it. The ship sailed. I can no longer... Okay, without even reading inside yet. What he's saying is that, okay, if I take dough, right, and I have in mind to make it for dog bread, and then I bake it, okay, so if I'm worried about benching, right, and making a bracha, when I eat it, so that reality can come into existence, because I could say is that the psul's been removed. But by challah, since I baked it already, there's no mechanism to remove the psul anymore. It's permanently not be able to be used for challah. What he's saying is that, but now that's what, so what Klein is saying is good. What Klein is saying, without getting to the exact reason yet, what Klein is saying is that, so now the Rambam has to come up. In other words, if you're telling me this is as far along, so a guy could say, listen, I make dog bread, right? And now on Pesach night, I'm going to eat it. So my, one second, my eating of the bread or my das of that thing now makes it into matzah. No, because it has to be lacking something else. Just like challah at the Shas Chiyuv, right? At the Shas Chiyuv, which is kneading the dough, was lacking achilas adam. Matzah, what's it going to be lacking it during the process of making it? Sure. Shimur. That's the equivalency.
Because you never do shimur.
Yidei chobas matzah. Like Klein is saying, but if you're telling me challah, I can understand because at the time of its obligation, right? I intended for it to be dog food, and once it's baked, I missed the opportunity. But you won't say by matzah. Why can't a guy say, listen, I have my dog matzah in front of me, and now I decide to change my mind to eat it, and now I should be yotzei my matzah? No, so that's why ulahachi who shows if a Rambam time of the enemy shemesh matzah. That's why the Rambam brings in that reason of shimur. Now, watch this. Verotza Lomar. Asiyasa Isa. So when I make the dough, Eina Mishumaris, it wasn't guarded. Right? Al-Korkach, therefore you have to say.
Al-Korkach, Mamila, Ein Yotzimba, Yedei, Kobos, Matzah, Lolom.
Right, so now, think about it. Remember, like I was saying by Maror, right? So too by Matzah. Matzah has two layers, right? It's unleavened bread. That's one reality. But now you have this other idea, right? This idea of matzah demands shimur. So at the time that the chi of matzah comes into existence, which is when I'm doing, let's assume now I'm needing it, right? At that time, if I don't have in mind for what it called, if it's not being guarded, l'shem matzah, so it's true, it's lechem, it could still be lechem, I could take that unleavened bread and bench on it. Now we can go deeper into the shimur. Watch this. B'masha kasav atam. Vim kain. Chalukim him. Now comes the hardest part. So now he's saying, this is more, it's not, it's interesting.
Weird, I don't like it.
I know. So, because it's very hard to understand what he means. But he says that is. He's saying, now, but we have a problem, okay? I'm just going to help you out. We have a problem. Because on the one hand, we saw before, which you guys remember, that challah and matzah, whatever applies by challah, applies by matzah as well, right? But that's not true here, because the chakir the Rambam's making here, mishumeres hashem matzah has nothing to do with din challah. So on the one hand, the Rambam seems to say that whatever applies by A applies to B. But the other hand, he wants to say, no, what applies to A applies to A, and applies to B applies to B, and they're two separate things. How can you resolve the two? So that's, one second, that's what he's about to say. He's about to say, V'ilu perish mishnayas kastav tahad te'inu yotzei lechavasu, u'mitzu koshen achai b'chal, inu yotzei lechavasu, v'tzarachiyin. So the problem is, on the one hand, he says that if something's not chai b'chal, it's not chai b'matzah, right? So whatever applies to A applies to B. But when he brings in this reason of shimur, that has nothing to do with chala. Yeah. So he's saying what applies to A has nothing to do with B. So how can it be both? Watch this. I remember reading this. This is great classic. This is classic Rav Chaim. There are two dinim in Shimur. Okay? Number one, Chada.
Etzem. Chada Etzem Maase Hashimur Jitarek Li Shamra Vikimut.
All right, so the first one is, translating, the essential act of guarding that's required, okay, to make sure this thing doesn't undergo fermentation, Okay? And that is the Iker. Now, this is very important. That is the Iker command, right? Mitzvahs, command of guarding. So, one idea is that I must, when I mix my dough, I must ensure that this never ferments. The Od Yesh Badin.
Od Yesh Badin, Behakafetzah.
And there's a separate idea that the object itself, I know I had the same reaction. Let's just understand it first. That the object itself must have in it the identity that it is being guarded for the purpose of matzah. Now, it sounds like double speak. Or okay, I'll repeat it. Then I'll explain to you what the real problem is. It's not just the fact that it sounds weird. There's a more fundamental problem. He said this. He's saying there's two ideas. There's two ideas by guarding. Okay. One idea is that I must ensure that this mixture never ferments. That's the mitzvah of Shibor. Forget the time. That's a myth, but forget the time. I have to make sure this thing does not ferment. Okay? Good. So if I go ahead, now think about it. Okay? And he's going to say this in a second. If I go ahead and make unleavened dog bread, have I fulfilled my mitzvah Shibor? The answer is...
You guarded it or not.
What?
Depends on how you guarded.
No, guarding means I didn't allow it to ferment.
Right.
Good. So have I...
You didn't ferment. You're good.
Exactly. Good. So if I make unleavened dog bread, I have definitely fulfilled my, so to speak, Mitzvah Shimur.
Well, no, you haven't, though. But
no, one second. But he said there's another idea, which is that the object that comes out of my thing must have in it the identity of being L'shem Matzah. Now, of course, the reason why that's doublespeak isn't just because it sounds strange. But I'll tell you why. Because let me ask you a question. If I make tzitzis, okay? So in halacha, 99.999% of the time, the action and resulting objects go hand in hand. Yeah. If my intention is to make the tzitzis, what produces from that is tzitzis. So what is he saying by separating the two?
You can make unleavened dog bread.
It's tempting. It's tempting to say, okay, well, maybe what he's saying is that there's a culinary idea of lack of fermentation, and then there's an abstract halacha idea of a shei matzah. But the problem is he says mitzvah shimur. He doesn't say, he says mitzvah shimur, that there's a halachic value in ensuring this item doesn't ferment, right? So again, what is going on here? In 99% of the times, I'll say 100% if it weren't for this, that my action, the action I do, when I make tzitzis, right? If I tie the strings, like at that same, so to speak, moment, what happens? The object of tzitzis emerges. You would never say, there's no point in time between me tying the strings and the object emerging. They're one and the same. He's literally trying to take something that doesn't lend itself to separation and say, no, that there's one idea of a mitzvah shimur, and that can exist in the realm of dog bread, right, so to speak. And there's another idea of, does this object have a shei matzah? Mm-hmm. Well, what is he saying? He says, look at the Gemara Pesachim. You would think, this is the case to consider, okay? You would think I can fulfill my chiyuv using matzah I make for a korban todah, or for a nazir, right? Because you have to make unleavened bread when you bring a korban todah. So why aren't you? Ushmartem es ha-matzos. Matzah mishamesh shnei mitzvah. So we see in another instance, right, that I can't take, if I make my matzah l'shem korban todah, it can't be matzah shal mitzvah. Okay? So that's his example. So he says, harei da'af yesh kam maisa shimur gamur, shiuchol ha'ol gam le'matzah. There's no question when I make matzah for the purpose of korban todah, I've prevented this thing from fermenting. I have made matzah. But since it's being guarded for some other reason, it's not considered mishumar l'shem matzah. And therefore you have to say, right? And therefore you can't tell me the object itself has the shame of being matzah. And therefore if I bake it for anything other than matzah, you can't say the object that emerges is matzah shel mitzah. Well, what does that mean?
Still that he